Hey guys, it's your international award-winning author, literary extraordinaire, and awe-inspiring coach, Tenille M. Jackson. And this is Educated and Empowered. Today's broadcast, anyone who grew up not knowing their father, anyone who grew up with a strained relationship with their parents, anyone who grew up, so whether it's a broken home, whether it was just like issues that create abandonment issues, anything like that, that's who would benefit from today's broadcast. And so for those of you who are on Facebook, you see the title, it is He Made Me Cry. And so I want to go a little bit more into that. And just so you all know, again, you feel free to put whatever comments that you want to put. I just ask that they be respectful. And you can always feel free to ask me any questions that you may have. Hey, Pastor Sandy. Well, I'm finna hit you today, because today, despite the title, it was a good show, but it's a good thing, but I have to give it some background. So this is not a topic that I talk about often, right? Hold on one second. This, for many of you, like, unless you know me, you don't necessarily know my upbringing. You don't know my personal story, my personal background. I shared some of it. My friend Aretha Tatum did a documentary, I think it was about 2 years ago. I know we were still in the midst of the pandemic. So she did a documentary entitled 70 times 7, The Freedom of Forgiving. And so I share a snippet of my story dealing with rejection and abandonment issues. I know my father, but he didn't live with me. So we have a very surface level relationship. Got you. So here is my story, okay? So whenever I talk about my dad, so the other day I just posted a picture saying I woke up thinking about my parents, which you guys saw a picture from when I was way young, my mom, my dad, and then my sister and myself, right? So that was the family that I grew up knowing. And that dad that I love to death, who passed away in 2019, he is not my biological father. He adopted me when I was 10 months old. However, he's my dad, right? And so when I was about 14 years old, there was something in me that knew that my dad wasn't my father, you know, so you guys understand where I'm going with that, where I knew, even though this was my dad and this is who I was calling dad, I knew that that wasn't my dad, and I didn't know how to broach the subject. I knew that I wouldn't bring it up to him, because I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. It was just something in me where I just needed to know, you know. And so I remember one day asking my mom, again, I was about 14. And I remember one day asking my mom if my dad was my father. And that's when she told me that he wasn't. And I was so, like, even though I kind of knew that that was going to be the answer, I was still kind of hurt, because the next immediate question or thought was, well, where is my dad? Or who is my dad? And more specifically, why is he not here? Why don't I know him? Because me and my sister, we don't have the same father, right? And so all my life, I knew that. I knew that me and my sister didn't have the same dad. And I knew who my sister's father was, who he is. I absolutely love him to pieces. The documentary that I did that's going to be debuting on the 28th, he's one of the black men that I interviewed for the documentary. So I know him. I have known him all of my life. And so the point that I'm making is that growing up, you know, my sister, because he lives in a different state. And so, you know, every summer my sister would go there to spend time with her dad. You know, whenever he came to Chicago, he'd come over and see her, see us. He always, you know, talked to me, dealt with me. But I knew that was my sister's father. You see what I'm saying? And so as I got older, I always wondered, where is my father? Why did my father never decide to be in my life? You know, and that causes a lot of issues for you. And I don't think that it's just as a female, male or female. I think when you don't grow up with your father, it can, I won't say that it is already or is necessarily the case 100% of the time, because I try not to speak in terms of absolutes, but in many, many cases, it messes you up, you know, because and let me also, before I go further, let me give the disclosure. I am not a counselor. I am not a psychiatrist, a therapist, any of those things. So all I am doing in this show is simply sharing my story, how it affected me, how I coped. That's all that I'm doing. Okay. So in either case, Treville says, I have a very similar story because I was raised by my brother's dad. And here's the thing. These people could be the best people in the world to you. But what happens is there is still something, I don't know if it's human nature, but there is still something in you that gives you to want to know what happened. Where's my father? Like, okay, that's my sister's father, but where's my father? Like, why is it that, like, he's not dead? Because she told me, you know, I asked if he was still alive, and she was like, to her knowledge, he was. But it just left a really, really, that's a good word, Treville, it left a really huge void. Like, what? And for me, it was something where I internalized it, right? Where I felt there was something wrong with me. Like, what is it? Why? What is it about me? Why doesn't he, you know, love me? Or why is it that he would not want to spend time with me? Or, girl, come on. No, but come on. That's exactly it. Like, you just wonder and you internalize it, and it gives you to have these issues of rejection. Okay, and let me say this. I will speak in my person. For me, I dealt with rejection issues all my life, just wanting to be accepted and wanting to be loved, because you're it's like, why didn't he love me? You know what I'm saying? It sure can mess you up. I don't think if I didn't forgive him and would have still been bound by it. Come on. And this is what I'm saying. You definitively have to forgive. But here is my point. As a 14-year-old girl, that's when it really started messing with my head, because now at this point, I definitively know, I'm told that, because I don't know if before then, you know, I don't remember if before then I had any thoughts or whatever. And I'm not even sure exactly what happened what happened that made me courageous enough to even ask at that point. I honestly can't tell you. I don't remember none of the dots that led up to the point where I asked my mom definitively, flat out, is my dad my father? And then from there, well, where is my dad? Hey, Miss Deatrice, where is my dad? And then, you know, like, did he ever call? Did he ever write? Like, all of those things, because you're trying to make sense of it, right? And nothing was ever said other than, I'm not sure where he is. And that was pretty much it. It wasn't any follow-up. It wasn't like, we can try to get in touch with him. It wasn't, and I think that it really kind of made her uncomfortable as well. And you know, I kind of felt that, so I let it go. But at 14, now, and you know, you're just not really a teenager, so you have all of these different emotions inside of you. And then when you're seeing other friends with family, and again, keep in mind, technically I had a two-parent home. I had my mom and my dad, but there's still something in me. And especially when I would see my sister with her dad, like there's something that was in me that just, again, let's use Travell's word, a void. There's that void that's just there. It's like just this hole, and you don't understand, you know, the hurt doesn't, girl, the hurt doesn't leave. I was literally attacked right before I joined your video started. Our siblings don't get it. And in my case, my brothers are both being disrespectful because my feelings of belonging or security still isn't healed at age 42. Travell, tag them. If you are Facebook friends with them, tag them in this video. And by the time I get done, maybe it will help them to understand, because I'm going to hit on all of that. Okay. So fast forward, okay? So fast forward, and like I say, low self-esteem, feelings of rejection, like all my life. And what's crazy is, like, I have friends and stuff, so it's not that I didn't have friends, but there is just something beside that, like, that just makes you feel like you never feel worthy, because it's, and you know, it's just like being saved now, being a Christian, being a believer, like I understand now from a spiritual perspective that, you know, that was just the enemy's drug of choice, right? So he understood that rejection was something for me, and he could play on that. So that was something that he used to get me. So now at this age, you understand that, but being in that moment at 14, 15, 16, You ain't that spiritually deep. You ain't that, you know, at that place where it don't bother you. You know, our parents' generation didn't like to talk about certain things. Absolutely. And that left us vulnerable. Absolutely. And I think that that also contributes to one of the reasons why, A, I wanted to make sure I had the type of father for my girls who would be a father for them. So regardless of what happens with me and him, I mean, we're together, but regardless of whether we were together or not, I wanted a good father figure for them, so they would never have to know the pain that I grew up feeling, right? And so because there is a huge emptiness, it is such hurt, inexplicable hurt, because again, you feel worthless. That's the best way I can describe it. You feel worthless, because it's like, even though your mom is there taking care of you, and again, I had somebody who adopted me, but it's like, if he's not dead, then why is he not here? Why is he not checking on me? Why is he not coming for me? Why doesn't he love me? What is it about me? Like, so this is, these are the feelings that you have. And so anyway, fast forward. And so I remember when I was 18, I just found out a month ago that my grandfather is not my real grandfather. I had his name and not my father's name, and my siblings don't get it. And it's so insensitive. Girl, we're going to just keep going. Because see, what happened with me and my sister both had my mom's maiden name. So both of us had her last name. So therefore, you know, even though she got married, it was explained, hey, Lonnie, it was explained, it was implied. Let me say it like that, because nothing was ever explained. Because to go back to Pastor Sandy's point, parents didn't sit down in that generation. Parents didn't sit down and talk about their love lives, or talk about their mistakes, or talk about their bad choices, or talk. No, it just was what it was. As a child, you didn't get to say so. You dared not ask anything. If they wanted you to know, they tell you. If they didn't tell you, then that meant you don't ask, right? That's just how it was in that time. And so with us, it was just implied, okay, mama's last name was the last name it was because she was married to daddy. That's just how it was. Hey, Ms. Muriel, And so, but me and my sister had the same last name. So therefore, me and my sister were sisters. Like, and I don't even think as a younger person, I didn't understand the concept of half brother, half sister, you know, like half siblings, like it's your sister or it's your brother. Like I didn't get half. I was, again, I was almost grown before I understood the concept. I just knew that somewhere out there was somebody who was the reason, was half the reason why I was in this world, and he was never here to see about me. Some things we just didn't know, and adults didn't. Come on, you wasn't finna. You didn't have to. They didn't have to say nothing. They just gave you this look. Never mind. I didn't mean. Don't even worry about it. I wasn't even asking that out loud. You just knew by that look. I did too, but she doesn't know that he's not her real dad. Okay. She's in early dementia and I can't get the answers. I'm wrecked. Okay. But listen, Travelle, let me help you. Look, girl, y'all stay here for it. Stay here for it, because I'm here for all of this stuff. So just go with me. It's going to take me a minute to get all out, but I promise y'all it's going to be worth it. So anyway, so fast forward, I'm 18. Totally random. One night we're at church and this guy comes in my church. At this time, my dad, so okay, when I'm talking about the man that raised me, that's my dad. So whenever y'all hear me say my dad, I mean my adoptive father, not my biological father. So this man comes into my church. It was a Friday night service. I'll never forget it. Friday night service, he comes in my church. And my dad was up speaking, and I remember, so after he finished speaking, my dad tells this guy to stand up. And you know, when you in church, so whether you call yourself a Baptist, it's customary if somebody that ain't a member of the church come in, it's customary that you ask them to stand up because you just acknowledging their presence or whatever. This one that. So my dad knew who he was. And so my dad gets up and he's like, he introduces him as being my father. And so he's like, you know, so y'all, you know, let's give him a round of applause being here, thank him for being here, whatever. Oh, the questions that I had in my head that night, because now I'm all kinds of discombobulated, because it's not even just the fact that this is how I meet him, but then the fact that my dad knew who he was. Let's keep going. So after service was over, the guy goes to my mom and dad and asks if it would be okay for him to come back to our house because he wants to speak to me. Okay. So we get back to the house and, you know, he's explaining to me that he's my father and, you know, he's sorry that he wasn't there or whatever, you know. And so would I be willing to forgive him and give him an opportunity to start over? Anybody that know me know I'm not one that holds grudges. Ain't nobody got time for that, because that just hurts you anyway. And so, again, there's a part of me, I want to know who my father is. So you came, you said you were sorry, you want to be in my life. So absolutely, I forgive you. Let's move on. Because he gave me $100. You don't forget that Holy Ghost handshake that got that $100. Okay, so he gave me that Holy Ghost handshake, had $100 in it. He just was asking for my forgiveness. He wants to be able to move forward. Okay. So fast forward 4 years later, because that's how many years it was before I saw him again. So I wait 18 years to see him. He comes and apologizes and says that things are going to be different. Can we be in each other's life? And now it's 4 years later. And the reason why it's 4 years later is because now my mother's on her deathbed. Like literally, this isn't language. Like literally, she had stage 4 cancer and she was, you know, she'd already been given X amount of time to live. Word got to him. He was at my grandmother's house, okay? my mother's mother. He goes to my grandmother's house, has my grandmother call me to say it, to ask if it would be okay for him to come see my mother. So the conversation goes a little something like this. Hey, grandma. Hey, baby. Everything okay? Yeah, it's good. How your mama doing? She all right, holding on, you know. So, oh, because let me stop to say that I was my mother's caregiver. So I took care of my mother in her final day. She had moved in my house. And so the hospice bed, the whole everything. So I was her caregiver in her final days. But anyway, she okay. You know how I go. Yeah, I know. Well, my dad's name is Renee. Well, Renee is over here, and he just wanted to know if it would be okay if he came over there to see your mother. Okay, that, you know, sure, that's fine. All right, well, I'll let him know. Not, Renee wanted to know how you were doing. Renee is sitting right here. He wants to talk to you. He wants to know if he can come to your house to see, not to see you, to see your mom. Sure. My dad did the same thing, appeared then, disappeared again, grounded. So, Travell, here's the thing. It's not that what he did wasn't technically respectable. It was just a little bit deplorable because because two things. One, you at my grandma's house, meaning if you at my grandma's house 4 years, my grandmother lived in the same house so my grandmother died the year after my mom. So all of my life up to that point, my grandmother lived in the same house. So that means that when I was 18, my grandma was living in that house and you never came to that house. When I was 14, my grandma was living in that house. You never came in that house. So you have to understand my mind at that point. Not, oh, that was so nice that he would go and call to see if it was okay for him to see your mom. No, that was not what my mind was thinking. Let's carry on with the story. So in the story, which just happens to be my life, I get off the phone with my grandmother and I go to check on my mom. And my mom looks at my face and she's like, what's wrong? I ain't trying to plague my mom with this stuff. I'm like, nothing, everything is okay. And she would always say this. She said, Sneal, I gave you a birthday. I know when something is wrong. And so I told her, I said, well, Grandma just called and said Renee want to come and see you. She's like, what do you want to see me for? Y'all got to understand, my mama is a feisty little chick, okay? Well, she was a little feisty chick. I said, I don't know, but at the end of the day, that has nothing to do with me. And so I'm not going to stop him from seeing you just because he and I have unresolved issues. So I told him he could come. So, okay, fast forward a few hours, he gets to the house. And so my mom comes out of the room and she simply says this to him. She says, you need to work stuff out with your daughter. If y'all can't work things out, there's no reason for you to be here for me. And she goes back in the room. And so he looks at me and he asks if I would give him, you know, if I want to talk to him. And let's say at age 22, I wasn't as saved and sanctified as I am today. So I will say this, I've always been respectful. So whereas there was some words in me that was real riled up that I won't dare say today, I didn't say them while I was talking to him. However, I was thinking a whole lot of them, okay? So
if you want to know whether or not I actually went to speak to him, then tune in to part 2 of He Made Me Cry.